23. Death. Howard, May 2220, Omicron squared Aridney. It was the call I'd been dreading for decades. Dr. Onagi looked out the video window at me. I could see from the background that he was calling from the hospital.
There was no warning, Howard. She simply collapsed. We got her admitted, but our efforts were insufficient.
I felt my eyes begin to sting and choked it back ruthlessly. I appreciate the call, Dr. Onagi, but I'm a little perplexed that it's you calling me. Shouldn't her children be doing this? Well, Howie, maybe. I doubted Rosie would be dialing me up. Dr. Onagi looked to the side for a moment.
Well, they very likely would have by now, but per Mrs. Brodeur's instructions, we placed her body in stasis immediately, post-mortem. Her children were livid and are seeking legal counsel, as far as I know. I got the impression that you figure prominently in that. They may not be talking to you at all.
I stared, stunned. Bridget hadn't given me any indication that she'd changed her mind. I thanked Dr. Onagi for the information and ended the call. I immediately phoned Ms. Benning.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johansson. I've just heard about Mrs. Brodeur. I'm so sorry for your loss.
She's been placed in stasis. Dr. Onagi says that was per her instructions. Has something happened?
She changed her will a few months ago. Normally, I wouldn't be able to discuss this with you, but she specifically instructed me to read you in.
Ms. Benning reached off screen for a moment.
And according to EBAR, her children have just filed an injunction to force the hospital to remove her body from stasis. This is not unexpected, and we already have countervailing filings in place. There will be a hearing, for which you should make yourself available. I'll keep you informed.
We exchanged a few more bits of information, then she disconnected. I sat back in my beach chair, staring into space. Bridget was dead. I should be a useless puddle on the floor. I had no doubt that I would be soon, but the unexpected news about her turnaround on the replication issue had thrown me for a loop. Well, I could make myself useful while I was still in one piece. I'd built scanning equipment from the information Riker and I had gleaned. Time for an inspection. The hearing was relatively informal, held in the judge's office rather than the courtroom. Howie, Rosie, and Leanne sat to one side of the room, and Ms. Benning and I at the other. Dr. Onagi, representing the hospital, sat in a more neutral, central position. Judge Ulrich Katz silently scanned the documents in front of him for a few more moments, then looked up.
Issues with the last wishes of decedents are always difficult. When surviving loved ones...
He's not a loved one,
Rosie interjected. The judge stared at her silently, and Leanne put a hand on her arm. Order being restored, the judge continued.
When surviving loved ones disagree about the specifics, but this court cannot make assumptions about the decision in advance of the actual trial. Decanting the decedent at this time will effectively give the decision to the plaintiffs, regardless of the outcome, whereas if the decedent is left in stasis, she can still be decanted should the decision go that way. And conversely, allowing scanning before a decision is rendered cannot be reversed. Therefore, I will not grant the injunction to have the body decanted immediately. Dr. Onagi, you will maintain the body in its current state, and you will not allow any other operations to be performed on it until otherwise ordered by this court.
The judge didn't bang a gavel. I'd been half expecting it. Of course, my experience with court was 100 years out of date, from the wrong continent, on a different planet, and came mostly from TV anyway. I stood up and looked over at Bridget's children. The girls were rigid with the effort of not looking my way. Bridget's son, Howie, glanced at me and shook his head minutely. I took the hint. We let them exit first, then followed. I looked at Ms. Benning and raised an eyebrow. She opened her mouth to answer, did a small double take, and smiled.
Mr. Johansson, I've known intellectually for some time that you were walking around in an artificial body. After all, it's not only germane to this case, but has also been the subject of much gossip, especially the nature of your relationship with Mrs. Brodeur.
Miss Benning blushed slightly.
But I've just now consciously realized that I'm not talking to a live, biological human being. I'm impressed at the verisimilitude.
I smiled sadly. Thank you, Miss Benning. We Bobs have been putting a lot of effort into getting the androids as believable as possible. And to answer the not-quite-unspoken question, there's no sexual component to my relationship with Mrs. Brodeur. I could have engineered the capability, but I didn't. I am deeply in love with her, and she loves, or loved, me in a much less intense but still very real way. Miss Benning nodded.
I have no doubt of your essential humanity, Mr. Johansson. I dealt with you over the transfer of title for the business. Remember? Your emotional turmoil was obvious and very real.
We walked in silence for a few moments before she continued.
While it will be an uphill battle for the plaintiffs, it's not a slam dunk by any means for us. But Mrs. Brodeur expected pushback from her children and made some arrangements in advance, including setting up a defense fund that the children wouldn't be able to block.
I nodded silently. Bridget had always been a careful, methodical thinker. Went with the career choice, I guess. She'd have covered all the bases. None of which made things any easier. I had Bridget's permission to replicate her. But I would have to wait for the wheels of justice to slowly grind their way to a conclusion.